Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
This is Nico Collins, and we're listening to Roster Watch.
Ladies and gentlemen, citizens of the universe, this is Roster Watch. My name is Alex Dunlap. I'm joined by Cody Carpentier. And Cody, today's a big day because we're going to be talking about dynasty sells before the NFL draft. We're buying and selling, man. But we need to know before the NFL draft gets here what players are set to lose value or kind of getting ahead of any sort of trends, anything like that. We've taken a look and at some of our dynasty rosters and looked at guys that we might be interested in selling, and also went over to the Fantasy Calc website and just kind of getting a good idea of the market for these players based on recent trades. And I have a list of a few. I know you have a list of a few. How do you want to get this thing started?
Well, let's get it started with the top. I mean, I know you have some conversation thought about some draft picks, and I want to hear your thoughts on that first before we get into specific players.
Well, okay. I think if you have a good team and you're picking like 108 through 112 in your rookie drafts right now, I think if you can dangle just the idea of a one, right, to be able to get something that you know, whether it's for a player, whether it's for, you know, a one next year and maybe picking up an extra two this year. I think everything like 108 through 205 in one quarterback is what I'm very interested in. I went over to Football Guys, and they have a community sort of ADP thing. I was really looking for one where it was like actual people doing these drafts, you know, like people that would be the kind of like the people who are in your league, right? Where it's you can get some things that are outlier things and stuff like that, and people will value different prospects differently. And when I look at this, so in what they do is they bring their community and they have these mock drafts. They've had like 7 of them, and this thing goes: Ashton Jeanty, Omarion Hampton, Ted McMillan, Travion Henderson, Luther Burden, Travis Hunter, Tyler Warren, Emeka Egbuka, Quinshon Judkins, Cam Ward, Caleb Johnson, Matthew Golden, yada, yada, right? For me, in these drafts, based on what we know right now, I kind of know right now, regardless of what happens here, that when I start getting to like the 105, 106, as things stand now, I start getting worried, because for me, I want to go – and this could change a little bit, but I think the first 4 picks I'm going to be most interested in this class are going to be Ashton Jeanty, Omarion Hampton, Travion Henderson, Quinshon Judkins, right? Yep. Now, in any draft that you do, Ted McMillan's going to go ahead of Quinshon Judkins, right? That's going to happen, right? So you can bake that in, and once you get to the 106 – that's when you start saying like, well, what am I doing now? Am I going to take Travis Hunter and worry that he is, going to play cornerback? Am I going to really take a tight end here like Tyler Warren? You know,
you might also get a Golden too. If Golden is the first receiver drafted, Golden could be in that conversation.
But
hasn't been to this people, point. But
do you think he hasn't been to this point? And I just wonder if people are going to. I don't think people are going to want to take Golden at the 106. I just don't. And that's the thing. I'm not sure.
Is it because of those landing spots? Like we talked about, like Arizona, you think about Dallas with Lamb, like there's not really a spot where you see Golden really capturing a target share that is like of substance?
Well, it's, I just think this is such a better running back class than it is a wide receiver class.
I'm not questioning that.
And so what I'm saying is, if I have one of these late ones, I'm like, do I really want, you know, like we're talking about, you know, Golden's going around here. Egbuka, I love Egbuka, but I mean, I love Golden. I just wonder what kind of game changers these guys are going to be. And if I can just get, if somebody's going to value them the same as like they do these other guys, like the dudes that I really want, I guess there's always a chance that Judkins could fall, you know, in these drafts, he falls to the, what, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 9. I don't think that's going to happen often. That's why I'm saying maybe the 108 to like the 205, because I just.
What about the 1-6?
Well,
why stop at the 108? The 108 right now out there in the marketing.
Because I'm building in that probably somebody's going to take Travis Hunter or Luther Burden or Tyler Warren or something like that. But yeah, the 108, if you want to be super, for me, honestly, I start getting spooked at the 106 because I know that things can fall with those four guys and then Tet. And then I'm just like, I don't feel like there's anybody who's a huge needle mover for me that's any different than the guys I can be taking in the middle of the second round.
That's my question, because I'm looking like on the market, it's like you look at the 108 right now, some of the trades that have happened, it's like, well, you can trade that pick away and get DK Metcalf. You can trade it away and get Ken Walker. And I'll be honest with you, those are kind of like, okay, I like it, but I don't love it. You look at the 106 right now, somebody traded that for Garrett Wilson yesterday. Somebody okay. traded that 106 they got. This is kind of pukey, but you're basically trading down eight spots. You go from 106 to 202. You get Calvin Ridley and Ramondre Stevenson. However you feel about that, I don't love it, but you're trading down and you're getting two, however you want to look at it. Calvin Ridley right now is in line for a 25% target share, and Ramondre Stevenson
is going to get his job taken. Like,
but he might get his job taken. They got to fix a lot more things than a running back that they know they can lean into and just, you know, use his legs this year. Those are just a couple of examples. I don't want to talk about that. This is a two quarterback league, but 106 plus next year's first gets you Drake May.
All these guys that are going, all right, so say like the 106 or the 107, right? All these guys that are going, like, yes, I wouldn't mind having Egbuka on my team. I wouldn't mind even in non-tight end premium having Travis Hunter. I wouldn't mind having Luther Burden, right? But I don't. It's not like I'm completely in love with it. Like, as you know, around as much as some people might say that they love around one pick, and then when you get down a little further than that, they start taking quarterback. People take quarterbacks, like even in one quarterback leagues, they take Cam Ward and Shedeur Sanders, and then you get to the Colston Lovelands of the world. Caleb Johnson is kind of at that 1-2 turn. Then like guys like Devin Neal and Ollie Gordon, you know, Scadaboo, Alec Iaman are just bad picks here. I start getting back interested here when we get to like, you know, the end of the second round, where I can start hammering the Dylan Sampsons and the RJ Harveys and the Bashiel Tootons and the, you know, maybe the DJ Giddens or the Damian Martinez's, all these guys. Like, I want pick Jaden Blue. Jaden Blue's now fourth round. Like, I want those picks. And I want to take my first round pick and maybe get some player that I can get to take it. I'd be interested to see, like, what if you could end up trading away your one for some player that you know is just going to be a good like rental for a little. I'm just not necessarily seeing this guy, but like Debo Samuel or something, plus like they're late too. You know what I mean? And like mm-hmm. you can have a wide receiver three sort of built in there, a little bit of insurance, and then go draft RJ Harvey or go draft Dylan Sampson. To me, that makes it like I would rather have that than just, you know, take Colston Loveland. Or just, you know, be at the 111 and be you know, having to reach for like a, you know, a Devin Neal or an RJ Harvey or something. It doesn't make sense to me.
Would you potentially be looking to move up, and how would you do that if you had like, if you were at 111? Because you said you love top four picks. I'm the same way with you. I think it's four running backs off the rip, and that's where you want to be. And if you're not there, you need to either try to get there or maybe get back to a spot. Who's the NFL team this year? I think it's the Eagles. If you look at their picks, so they're like, in the fifth round, for example, the Eagles have pick 161, 164, 165, 168. They're all, and three of those came by way of trade. And if you can find an area of the draft where you seem to like a value, obviously the Eagles like that for some reason. If you find a spot in this draft where you know back into the third, because there's going to be a run on running backs and there's particularly, you know, a couple of receivers and a tight end you want. I'm not saying that's the right strategy. Personally, strategy for me is I'm going to take running backs third, fourth, fifth round. But if you can get back, move out and accrue a couple of picks to establish your rebuild and help with your rebuild, I think that warrants. But if you want to go from 111 to 103, 104, would you, I don't even know what that would take to do that right now in a player.
Yeah. I mean, I think that would be something that I want to wait to do on the clock, because I wouldn't want to build into the price of that.
Somebody, yeah, I'm not saying doing it right now. I'm just saying like, yeah, eventually.
Somebody's association with their personal value of Ted McMillan that I might not share.
So somebody did do it 2 days ago. They went Debo, like you said, and 110, they got up to 104.
Okay. I think it's fine. That's fine. Yeah, I'm sure the Debo was probably expendable on that guy's roster.
110 and 202 for 103. That's pretty good value.
It's good. Yeah. I think that's fine. I think that's fine because I do value those top four picks, really, truly the top five picks, because Tet's going to go in those top five. So I'm going to get one of those. I'm going to get one of those four running backs with the top five picks,
mm-hmm.
and then I'd value that more than I do the 110 or whatever and the 202. Whereas I said, I'm like to get the guys that I don't want to be taking. You know, Trey Harris there. I'm not interested in taking a quarterback. I think I would be fine with Caleb Johnson. I tend to think he doesn't usually fall that far. But it's like would be the one kind of maybe the 110 where you could maybe get him. But then how many mocks have we done, Cody? I just find myself, I'm like, I'm at the 202 and here I am. And I'm like, well,
let's reach out RJ Harvey because we love him.
Might as well take RJ Harvey, you know?
Yep.
Or might as well take, I know you don't like him, but might as well take Scataboo. When I know I can get I know I can get him 7-8 picks later,
yeah.
So that's why I'd say, you know, from the way, if you're talking about those things like with the Eagles, Howie Roseman, there's some sneaky thing he likes around 161. Well, there's sneaky things that I like around the first five picks. Again, with the assumption that, and honestly, maybe even the first six, because I would assume that in a lot of these, Travis Hunter will go. But Ted McMillan's going to go. So four running backs, Ted McMillan. Pick five, I'm fine. Anything pick five and up. You want to be a little bit risky, anything pick six and up. Okay. But then where I start to like it again is it like the 208 through the 304. And then where I like it again is like the 308 through the 404. I'll be like, because you get to that spot and you're like, dude, are you telling me that, because we're not talking now, like we're talking about the two sort of 08, whatever. And through that, you can pick off an RJ Harvey, a Tootin, a Martinez, a Dylan Sampson, this type of player, right? Scataboo. Okay. But then, and then on the other side, on the third round side of that, you can get your DJ Giddens, right? And then you get to the fourth round stuff, the third, fourth, and that's where you can get the Jaden Blue, the Breshard Smith, the Taj Brooks, mm-hmm. these types of players, right? I find that to be immensely appealing to me. Trevor Etienne, I find that to be immensely appealing. So I would like more picks in those rounds. I would like to trade as much as, you know, some of those trade ups sound good. I'm a bigger fan of trading down from the late round one, from the late round one selections and one quarterback, 2025 dynasty rookie drafts.
All right. How do you feel about this running back? This is one that Trash Man has made a bull stance on over the course of the last, I don't know, 8 months, maybe 10 months. Bucky Irving. I guess I currently have Bucky Irving ranked higher in Dynasty, but I'm bringing up this conversation because I'm looking at the NFL draft. I'm looking at what the history of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers have done the last couple of years. In 2022, they drafted Rashad White in the third round. In 2023, they added Sean Tucker as a free agent, in a college free agent, but we knew he had a little heart problem. He would have been a draft pick. He would have been a fourth, fifth round draft pick. They got him for free. They took Bucky Irving last year in the fourth round. Bucky, of course, smashes. That's the guy we're talking about here. Rashad's in a contract year, and you're on a you have a team here in the Buccaneers that has shown you that they're willing to spend a mid-round pick on a back that has abilities and upside, because we've seen them hit on each of those three guys. The Bucs only have six picks this year, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and 7. And where Bucky's going off right now in Dynasty is around running back number 6. So on Keep Trade Cut, he's running back number 6, which is Gibbs, Robinson, Genty, Barkley, Achan, Irving, and then you have Omarion Hampton, the rookie, Breece Hall, Jonathan Taylor, Kyron Williams, just to give you an idea where exactly Bucky is in the hierarchy of the Dynasty community, landscape, whatever. Some of the trades that are currently happening right now for with Bucky Irving included, you can trade away Bucky Irving. You can get the 112, which we just talked about, and DeAndre Swift. You can trade away Bucky, and you can get a 2026 first and second, Bucky Irving and the 104 to get Gibbs. Bucky Irving and a third to get Devon Achane. Depends how you feel with those assets. They're kind of side by side.
Which do you like better, Bucky Irving in the 104 or Gibbs? I think that's a great trade.
I think I'd take the Bucky side, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
I think I like the Bucky side even.
That's a good trade.
It would depend on where I would be at, though. It would depend.
Clearly, you know, yeah.
Because I feel like I just feel like Bucky's going to lose value. And I know those trades don't sound like they're like lopsided or anything, because they're not. I think they're good trades. And some of them you might want the Bucky side of. But when you look at the perceived value right now on Keep Trade Cut, where people perceive him to be, I feel like you can get more out of it. You know, he's going to be age 23 this season. I just think they're going to add a back. There's going to be a new back that enters the fold for the Bucs in one of these six picks that they have.
But he's pretty good, man, and he's Bucky the Buck, and they talk – I mean, it's like
– he's Bucky. He's great. He's a grinder, but Liam Cohen's gone. Rashad White's entering contract year. They haven't fully given Sean – I think Sean Tucker probably steps up in the event, because he did it last year in a game that had an RB1 game. But I think they've established what they're going to do. Jason Light's going to draft running backs in the middle to late rounds, right?
Right.
He really proved himself
to that team this year, to where they
Liam
were.
Liam said that.
Was it?
Liam said that. Liam's not there anymore.
Who was it at the combine talking about him, though?
Liam. I asked Liam. I said, what made Bucky Irving different? He said, Bucky, he's like cliche, but he showed up every single morning at 5 o'clock. He was the first one in. He's watching tape. He's grinding, and he really wanted it. And he was just a difference maker.
Well, but they also told us by their actions. They're like, this is a dude who, and this could be, you know, glass half full, glass half empty. You think about it, like, they like him enough to have, you know, he was sub 200, right? Coming out. Was he 196, 197? Just barely.
I think he might have been right there. Yeah.
That they were able to give him, that they were willing to give him the between the tackles sort of every down grinder kind of role, right?
192.
Yeah. At that size. And so that's interesting. And it's like, it says a lot about what they think about him and how much they believe in him. On the other side, if they do keep treating him like that, it's like, he's going to be at a higher risk of injury.
Yeah.
So I'm not sure that I'm completely on board with the, you know, just sell all you got of Bucky Irving.
I ain't saying sell all you got, but you got to remember, this guy was a mid third round rookie pick last year. So if you're looking at Dynasty from a value standpoint, and you can get off of a guy like this and get to a Gibbs, and you have to give up that 104. Yes, I understand that. But, you know, who knows? Now, who knows? Because you're going to know. I don't think you make that move today. You make that move on draft day, right? With your 104 pick there. But I also wouldn't give up the 104. That's the thing in that deal. Like, I know that deal happened, Bucky and 104 for Gibbs. Very good deal. I wouldn't make that. If I had the 1-7 in Bucky, I would do it.
From emails to reports and project proposals, it's hard to meet the demands of today's competing priorities without some help. Grammarly is the essential AI communication assistant that boosts your productivity at work so you can get more of what you need done faster. Just a few clicks can tailor your tone and writing so you come across exactly as you intend. Get time back to focus on your high-impact work. Download Grammarly for free at grammarly.com/podcast. That's grammarly.com/podcast.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
Okay, fair enough. Here's my first one. This is going to be and all these are like, my first one was going to be Jerry Jeudy, but I just called it off because we just got the news about Joe Flacco to the Browns. And I was just saying, like, what if the Browns just don't get anything done at quarterback? What are you going to do with Jeudy? And I was just looking up some of the stuff that you can get for Jeudy right now. And it was very, very appealing to me. It feels like he's, you know, his price was a little bit high for just, it wasn't factoring in the fact that what if nothing happens at quarterback? But I think with Flacco, I think that he's actually the kind of guy that, you know, with the way that it's kind of like it was with Josh Downs last year, right? A timing based receiver. Flacco is the kind of guy that can really, really help that player and really elevate him. So I took Jeudy off the list. The rest of these guys, man, are some guys that I like. And this is going to be it's like sometimes, you know, like with the markets or like the stock market, like take the market like right now or whatever. Like they always say, when there's blood in the streets, that's when you buy, right? Buy low, sell high, all this stuff. So I'm going to say a guy that's a great player that you'd love to have in Dynasty, but you could sell kind of high on right now. And it is Amon-Ra St. Brown. And the main reason is just how valuable he is, what you can get for him. I was looking at this site from earlier, and I was just like, well, here he just went for a 2020 just today. He went for a 2025 201, 2025 109, 2026 round three, 2026 round three, 2026 round four. He went just today for Rashi Rice, the 103 this year and a round two next year. This is immense. He went for the 106 and the 108 just yesterday. The 106 and the 108. And it's not like Amon-Ra St. Brown has.
Wait. 106 and 108?
Yeah. Look on the thing. It's like, and it's not that Amon-Ra St. Brown isn't great, right? But let me just make sure of this. He came into the league in 2021, correct? Amon-Ra St. Brown. Okay. That was the year that Ben Johnson came on as passing game coordinator. He was not yet offensive coordinator at that time. But let me just make sure I didn't get my time frames here. So I believe Ben Johnson was in 2021. He moved from being tight ends coach to being passing game coordinator. 2022 to 2024, offensive coordinator. And we've heard from him in his availabilities and his various, you know, like stuff with the media that he's talked about. They've asked him about, you know, what that role is on your offense, right? What is that? You know, how important is that kind of player? Like that guy that can play in the slot, you can move him around, all this stuff. And he's like, well, that's like one of the key pieces. Like, it's like, we can do this. And there's all this talk around, you know, Bears fans Like, well, who's going to play that role for the Bears? It seems like things are shaking out, like they're planning on it being DJ Moore. But
makes sense. I think so, I would lean towards Adunze, but
and so you just think about it, and like I hate the coach centric, you know, narratives and stuff like that. But is it being baked in right now that like Ben Johnson was actually really good, very creative, and that offense could take a step back? Is like I don't worry about it with the running game, because I know that Dan Campbell is going to say, look, man, we got our Sonic and Knuckles. The foundation of what we're going to be doing here is through the run game. Like I'm not worried about that. That's like in the DNA of the team, right? That's mm-hmm. almost in the culture, that run game, that thing. Brad Holmes would go down to the sideline and murder the new offensive coordinator if he was doing something where he was like taking those guys out of the game plan. Like, I don't think that would work. But I could see a situation where it's like, Amon-Ra Brown, St. Brown is still really good, but he, you know, loses 5-7% target share. And next thing you know, you're just like, you're dealing with a guy that, you know, some weeks he could get you a scoreless, you know, 5 catches for, you know, 62 yards, and like that stuff that he can do, you know, that he's been able to do before. But it's I could just see he's just been such a high floor guy with his receptions in PPR. And I just, whenever I look at the new offensive coordinator, John Morton, the first thing I noticed was, dang, man, he sure has been a coach for a long time. Like, he's 55 years old, and this is his first time being an offensive coordinator in the NFL, right? He came over from being the Broncos passing game coordinator for the last 2 years, and he was, to their credit, he was a senior offensive assistant in 2022 there with Detroit before getting hired away from with Denver. But before that, just like all these coaches, he's been like everywhere, right? I mean, mm-hmm. he's been at a million different places. What if he's not Ben? What if he's not Ben Johnson? What if he doesn't use Amon-Ra Brown the same way? What if they're more dependent on the run game? What if they go defense and the defense gets better this year and there's not so many back and forth game scripts? I just think that there's a little bit of uncertainty with the whole Lions offense in general. I don't want to get rid of any of the running back pieces. I'm kind of interested in getting rid of Jamison Williams, but you really can't get much for him right now. I was seeing trades for him for like the 208, 209, but like with Amon-Ra, like multiple firsts. I don't know, man. It's like, I hate to get rid of the guy. He's probably your best wide receiver that you have on your roster. But if you're one of these people that finds yourself with and just an abundance of talent and you want to continue proliferating that, it's a good year to do it. And Amon-Ra St. Brown is a guy who's incredibly, you know, his perceived value among your league mates is incredibly high, and it should be incredibly high to you. I just don't think that their assessment of his value bakes in the possible risk that we could see something weird happen with this offense.
I think I agree with you. Other than some of the stuff I've read about Morton and what Campbell thinks of him, Campbell thinks he's a superstar. And when he was there the 1 year in Detroit, they were fourth in total offense and fifth in scoring. And you go back to the year that he was with Dan Campbell in New Orleans when Campbell was a tight end coach. Morton was the receivers coach in New Orleans in 2016. They were number one in total offense. Yes, that was with Drew Brees. They were number two in total points per game. And that receiving core that he coached was Michael Thomas, Brandon Cooks, Willie Snead. They each had over 100 targets. Thomas 121, Cooks 117, Snead 104, so pretty diverse. And both Thomas and Cooks had 1,100 yards and 8 and 9 touchdowns, so extremely diverse. Like, it was – everybody got fed that in that year, which I think was – you know, if you look at this receiving room, and I think you're expressing your worries, that was during Thomas's rookie year. And – if you look at this offense and kind of the expectation for a JMO, right, and growth from a JMO and Laporta, who in that year in New Orleans, I think Kobe Fleener also had 85 targets. So that was another guy that ate at the same time as all the rest of these guys. And I didn't just mock Teterow McMillan to the Lions because it was, you know, fun to make Teterow McMillan fall at 28. It's because what have the Lions been trying to do on that outside position for the last couple of years, right? They've been adding Josh Reynolds. They've been adding who was the one? Tim Patrick last year, right? They've been trying to add a bigger outside receiver the last couple of years. And I just wonder if potentially they, you know, Tim Patrick's getting the second shot at this year, but they've been trying to find somebody else to come out there and play. So what does that mean for targets?
I think it's more, it's just more. Yeah. I think you kind of agree with me. So I would float it out there and see what I can get for the guy. There were a couple others that I had here, but there was also ones that I took off. I was like, you know, I was interested in maybe trading away guys that guys could be hot on with recent departures or just based on last year, like seeing what you could get for Jalen Warren or Tyrone Tracy. Or for me, like I wanted to look at Jaden Reed, who I've gotten a little bit cold on, you know, I thought might still have some name buzz and some name value. I just looked, you can't get enough for these guys. I've never wanted Jalen Warren, never had him, never drafted him, never cared. So I don't have personal experience with this, but it's like I'm in a spot right now where if I had Warren and I was one of these people that was like holding him, like I wouldn't, like you pay, like I'm going to hold on to him instead of giving him up for a, you know, some kind of, you know, 2026 second round pick or something like this, right? It's I'm not interested in that. But those were guys who I had on my list where I'm like, I feel like I'm down on these guys compared to consensus, but I think that the, you know, the general public is kind of with me on them. I have two more though. I'm not sure that the general public will be with me on. Is there somebody else that you wanted to highlight first?
I was going to go James Cook, going to be his age 26 season this year. He's running back 11 right now and keep trade cut. He's a guy that I think you look at the current state of the Bills, they're not really willing right now at the current stage to pay him, to give him the 15, 16 million he's looking for because he's 26. He'll be 30 by the time that contract's up. And his brother, who was 15 pounds heavier than him, fell off a cliff rather quickly for the Vikings after he got paid. Gave him a couple good years, but James Cook's not a 215-pound back. He's a good size back, but they've also been willing to, similar to the last conversation with the Buccaneers, they've been willing to draft guys and take on new guys every single year from the draft. Last year was Ray Davis. I think the year before that, last year they brought in Frank Gore as well as a college free agent, and they have Ty Johnson on the roster who's the pass-catching guy. And when you look at the actual output last year in receptions, Ray Davis and Ty Johnson had more receptions and almost twice as many receiving yards and three times the touchdowns in the receiving game as James Cook did. So as much as we like to see the James Cook touchdowns, it's one of the most unpredictable stats in the sport. And from a trade perspective right now, it's kind of wishy-washy as far as what you can get for him. I've seen 26 first-round picks. I've seen 27 first-round picks. The one that I saw, I just went off of the screen and came back. It was James Cook and Darnell Mooney, who's basically a throw-in at this point, for the 105 and the 505. So if you count Mooney and the 505 as throw-ins, you're sort of this guy yesterday in a 12-team, one point per reception, two QB league, got the 105 for James Cook, essentially.
Well, that's – yeah, gosh. I would do that in a heartbeat. I'm all about selling James Cook. I'm 100% fine with it. One guy I wanted to talk about here was Jalen McMillan. I just – do people not realize that
– You selling McMillan?
Yes.
For what?
Let's just say a 2025 203 and a 2026 two.
I didn't know you could get that for him.
Yeah, you can get it for him. You can get Jalen McMillan. This isn't quite as high, but 2025 three and a 2025 four. Jalen McMillan here for. Jalen McMillan and Ken Walker for George Pickens in the 204. I think with that one, I kind of like having the Walker side of that one, but it isn't because of McMillan.
You can get those twos for him. I think that's fair. I'd take a couple twos.
I'm trying to – it's there aren't many, Cody, as you would expect. There aren't many where you can get just him by himself, if that makes sense. I'm trying to not many picks involve just Jalen McMillan on one. So I'm trying to Jalen McMillan in a 2026 round three.
How about this one? Both your pretend. I mean, you got Judy off your list a minute ago, but Jalen McMillan and Jerry Judy, and you get Nico.
Oh, how can that happen, man? Why does that not happen in my leagues? Gosh, that would be the best one. I don't think people are still baking in the fact that somehow Chris Godwin is going to fall off a cliff and he's going to be the wide receiver two for those guys. And I love Jalen McMillan coming out, dude. We said he's got a lot of Keenan Allen to his game and stuff, but he is a wide receiver. He's a wide receiver three. And whether you like to believe it or not, they did lose their offensive coordinator. There is going to be some uncertainty on that offense. There just is. So I kind of feel better about it because it is an extension. It's like the passing game coordinator, right? It isn't like, you know, the offensive coordinator takes his whole staff with him to the new place, right? It's like that guy stays and moves up into the role. Baker loves him. They have the continuity there, right? So I'm not as worried about that as a ultimate systemic risk as I am with the Lions, even though I'm not that worried about the Lions. I just think that I think there is risk that's not being accounted for. There's still a small degree of risk here with the Bucs as well, that the offense could take a step back without Liam Cohen. But then again, there was the same worry coming into last year about going from Dave Canales to Liam Cohen. So that's where I am on Jalen McMillan. I just have one more after that, if there's anybody that you have left.
I have Joseph Mixon, who is entering his age 29 season this year. I will admit I was in the selling campaign for him last year. He ended up having a good year that first year in Houston. Remember the trade happened about a year ago. He's a guy that's been pretty consistently hurt every single year except for 2023 and 2019. Something is always up. Something's always bugging him. But he showed that he had something left in the tank last year. When you watch the games and not just, you know, score sheet watch, Mixon looked good. But I think when you look in this backfield, and I'm looking at this NFL draft, and as you can tell through a lot of my takes here, from James Cook to Bucky to now to Mixon, it's about this draft. And it's about the strength of this draft. It's got reshaping of this draft and reshaping of the league at the running back position. Houston has 7 selections in this year's draft, 2 third-round picks, a fifth, and 2 sevenths. I'm looking at those 2/3 and I'm looking at that fifth. Will they use it on a running back that can come in here and actually play with Joe Mixon this year and potentially take over? And I think about that Bucky and that Rashad White situation last year, where you look at the backfield right now in Houston, they got Ogunbowale coming back. Damian Pierce is still there for whatever reason. They haven't traded him somewhere else. They kind of probably lost that window now. J.J. Taylor and Jawar Jordan, they've been willing to try guys out every single year to come into this backfield. They traded for Joe Mixon last year. I think they're going to take somebody else in this class that can potentially rejuvenate them and give them some more energy as this roster continues to get, you know, continues to build and get younger with a new offensive line, with Stroud and with everything else kind of starting up fresh, including the offensive coordinator. So Mixon's one on my list. I don't even know. Look at the trades yet, but
the offensive line's got worse.
110. I'll take a 110. I take a 110 for Mixon.
Yeah. Take the
Diggs and a 26 first.
I think it's fine.
111 and a 27 first.
You know what I do then? I take that 111, I turn it in to 208 plus 306, and then I end up getting my 27 first, and I end up getting RJ Harvey, and I end up getting Dylan Sampson, all for Joe Mixon. Are you kidding?
That's how you dynasty right there.
All right. One more for me, and this is another one I hate to do it. But he's 30 years old. He had the worst competition for targets last year in all of football, with guys competing with him like Olamide Zaccheaus, Noah Brown, Dyami Brown. Don't Luke do it McCaffrey. I know he's connected to Jaden Daniels, who's one of the best young quarterbacks and one of the best connections that you could ever imagine. Right. You want to have that kind of connection. You want a stud young quarterback with your dynasty wide receivers. But if I tell you that this guy's 30 years old, we know at least Debo Samuel's coming in. We think that they're going to draft another wide receiver of consequence at some point in this thing. And you're telling me that for this player who again, 30 years old, and last year had a great resurgent season, great young quarterback. Things look good moving forward. I totally get it.
We finally got the real breakout.
Debo Samuel is there, though, and we are possibly going to be getting another high-end, high-ish-end wide receiver there to water down the targets. This is a player that you can get, you know, a round one this year plus future round twos and threes just on his name alone, just him by himself. I see a 2025 one, a 2026 three, standing on his own, you can get a one plus for him. I hate to say it because I love him, but it's time to start just thinking about and getting price checks on Terry McLaurin.
Hey, Kristen, how's it tracking?
With Carvana Value Tracker.
What else?
Oh, it's tracking. In fact, Value Surge Alert, trucks up 2.5%. Vans down 1.7%.
Just as predicted.
Mm-hmm.
So, we gonna...
I don't know. Could sell, could hold.
The power to always know our car's worth.
Exhilarating, isn't it?
Tracking.
Always know your car's worth with Carvana Value Tracker.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.